chapter, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, and this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Gospel according to Luke, 19th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The glorious truth which the whole of the Gospel sets forth is contained in these words that we read by way of text. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world to secure salvation for every spiritual son of Abraham. The Lord Jesus here, as the chapter opens, entered and passed through Jericho. There is a word, I think it's in the latter part of Isaiah's prophecy, where Isaiah speaks, he does in the latter half of his prophecy speak very tenderly and very sweetly concerning the coming of Christ and his office. He speaks a word like this, of his coming up and travelling in the greatness of his strength. And this, my hearers, is that which is brought before us, even in this, that the Lord Jesus now is travelling toward Jerusalem in the greatness of his strength. And just reflect for a moment upon that which is before him, as now he is journeying to Jerusalem. And of all that it that shall there be accomplished. And yet, while he travels thus in his strength, here is a case. Here is a soul who is loved with an eternal love, and one who is to be called. And that is worthy of our note to see the word of God speak thus, that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That this wondrous dealing of his, even with this dear saint, did not take place in Jericho. Now I do not read of any miracle or of any great work that the Lord performed in Jericho. Jericho was a city that was cursed of God. And even to the extent that curse should be that man who should attempt the rebuilding of that city. If you go back to the book of the Kings, you'll see that there fulfilled. As there was an attempt to rebuild that city. The curse of God falling upon that man. Oh, what a terrible place, my dear. What a terrible spot that is. Where the Lord will do no mighty works. But he entered and he passed through Jericho. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. I just want to observe a thought or two of the context before coming to the word of the text. There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. What a character this man was. He was a chief among the publicans. We well know in a general way of what the Word of God tells us concerning those publicans, and the way in which they extortionated the people. And here was a chief publican, and one who was rich, and no doubt had obtained much of his wealth through unfair means. And yet the Lord saw fit to deal with him and to have mercy upon him. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. I don't know what that was, literally, that moved Zacchaeus to have this desire to see Jesus. It would appear that it was more of curiosity that moved him to come this way, to climb up into this tree. What he had heard of Jesus that gave him this desire to see this man, and I don't feel that at that time he thought any more of him than that. He ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. But he was to pass that way. But from that place he had to come down. The thought seems this, my dearest, that it is possible to have, as it were, a sycamore tree religion. That which is not real. That he would come to this high place, up into this tree, is just to speak humility. We read of others in the Word of God who desired to see Jesus and see where they came. We read of one who came through the press, who came behind him, who said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, that bespeaks humility." But here, Zacchaeus would seek some high place to be above the heads of the people. My dear, do you ever question this with your soul? Do you ever commune with your soul upon your bed? And do you ever question this before God as to the reality of your religion? Here it may well make you tremble. Your guilt, the debt, the seal of the order, the forfeit, these things are no passport to heaven, my dear. Oh, how many there are that would rely upon outward show and upon some good work. Good works are to be commended as they are the fruit of faith. Faith without works is dead. James says, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by thy works." Now, James is a very practical epistle. And the one dear servant of God who once said that then we went into a strange home and they gave him the Bible and asked him to read a portion, he invariably turned, though not necessary to read, but he invariably turned the book of James. And to see how worn that was compared with other parts of the Bible. My hero, test that is. How often do you read the book of James? How often do we hear it preached from? How often do we hear it read in a public way? How often do we measure our life according to that part of God's word? I was in a wrong sense singling out from the rest of the Word of God, but then my hearers, it is not to be left separate from the rest of the Word of God. You will find that epistle was, and it is, a very searching epistle. My hearers, are we relying on our good works for our salvation? That's a sycamore tree religion. You might have the smile of men, you might have the smile of the church, you might have the smile of the world, but what is that compared to the frown of God? There were those things of the Lord that is recorded throughout the Gospels, marked and observed. For some things which he spoke concerning. It was a time when he sat in the temple on a seat by the treasury, and he watched one and another casting their portions into the treasury. He didn't condemn it, and that is good, my dears. But that which the Lord has given us to give unto the Lord. Once there were those that gave of their abundance, the Lord laughed, although he didn't, at the outset comment on it. But when that dear and that poor widow woman came and cast in those two mites, he called the disciples over. Now look, he said, at this, which this dear woman has done. These others they have cast in of their abundance, but she's cast in her all. What did she cast into that treasury? Two mites. Ah, my dear, you know what that is? To use that figure to cast in two mites. Your two mites might be this. Your life and your soul. You say, well, those things aren't mites in one sense, they're not my dear. But compared to the infinity of Christ and the infinity of God, they are mites. But he had cast them into the treasury. And what is the Christian's treasury? That is Christ. And you cast all into his dear hands, your life and your soul. To be nothing, but yet possessing all things, my soul into thy arms I cast. I trust I shall be saved at last. For my hearers, our hopes, the salvation will not depend upon our good works. But it is that which Christ has done. Do we know then why I say what this is? To cast it all there. To leave the matter in his hands. And if you perish, to perish at his dear feet. To perish at that treasury seat, my dear. To perish at the feet of Christ. Find me one in the world who was brought to that place and who perished. Zacchaeus had to come down from the sycamore tree. That was a place he got to himself. He used his own means, if I might say, he used his own initiative to get to that place. But that which was of himself, he got to leave. And my dear, there are those things in your profession that are of self, you've got to come away from them. But how about Jesus? Coming to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste to come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. What that must have been to Zacchaeus, for the Lord should call him by name. thy name. I know thy sheep and have known of thine, he says. There does seem sweetness as we read the word, to that which the Lord said to him when he said, make haste and come now. I do love those comes of gospel invitation. Reflect for a moment the vast difference between come and go. The Lord never said to Zacchaeus, go now. He said, come now. A come will bring one to him. A go will save one from him. And he says, come down, come to me. Come now. Come where I am. And he had to come down. And he had to come down to this point where we ultimately find him. He came down to the feet of Christ. He had to leave his sycamore tree, the high bough of the tree. He had to come down to the feet of Christ. And my dear, so will you and so will I. This is a blessed posture for God's dear children. Oh, you know what this means? To be found at the feet of Christ. Now says the Lord, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. When Zacchaeus was examining that office that he had as a publican, and extortionating the people, and gaining his riches, no man murmured against him. And the world will not murmur against his own. But as soon as this man is brought to the feet of Christ, and brought into the company and into the presence of Jesus, then they began to murmur. And you prove something of this in your country. Is yours a religion where the world will leave you alone? Where the world does not murmur, where the world does not taunt? Said the Lord Jesus in his teaching, in the world ye shall have tribulation. You know, there are many today who speak of a so-called religion. They don't want to know anything of trial, difficulties, tribulation in these things. But you'll see this according to the teaching of God's word. That as soon as a soul is brought to Christ, brought to his dear feet, and seeks and enabled to walk according to his ways, according to his commands, then that one is subjected to the taunts, to the murmurings of the world, in some form or another. I have no authority from the word of God to lay down the measure of the power of tribulation. That is in the hand of my God. But so it is proved. Tribulation, more or less, we must and shall endure. The world never taunted Saul of Tarsus when he went about persecuting the saints. They would give him all encouragement, but all my hearers mark that, after his call by grace, and his afterlife, what he passed through, beaten, struck, stoned, at one time left again, shipwrecked, how his life was sought after. The Lord has given some precious promises in his word of how his presence shall abide with his dear children in those various paths. I hear that the promises of God are not in vain. Cannot be in vain. No word of God is in vain. And as he gives such a promise as this, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You will know something of the waters. And you will know something of the fire. You will know something of the power of temptation. Wonder not at it, for this is the way that the Lord himself passed through. You're not going to be called to walk in any time. The Lord himself has not gone that way before you. But all this precious word, come now. You know that I say what that is, to come to the feet of Christ. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You see what a knowledge Zacchaeus had of the Lord. The revealed will of God is brought before us in the Lord. But now he's made to delight in it. And to walk as enabled in obedience to it. And Jesus said unto him this day, Is salvation come to this house? For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we have the setting of the word. Now let us observe this passage. The Lord's purpose here for towards Zacchaeus, the way which he dealt with him, by Zacchaeus was unsought for. Now you say, well, the word says he sought to see Jesus. He did, my dear, in a marked different way. He sought to see Jesus to satisfy some curious thought. But how Jesus sought him. And all beginnings in a work of grace are with God, not with man. One of our poets sweetly sings, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Oh, my dear, as you look at the characters in the world whom Jesus sought, whom Jesus found, for those he seeks after he'll find, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is joined together in God's word. And what he has joined together, let not man put asunder. There is not one, my dear, that Jesus would seek after, but whom he cannot find. He may be in some far off place, in some far off condition. And you look at some of the conditions that are spoken of in the word of God. You look at that one that is generally termed as the Mad Gadarene. What a character he was. And look where he dwelt among the tombs. Man tried to tame him, but they couldn't. He broke the chain, and when he broke the chain, where did he go? He went back to his tombs amongst the dead. That was where he was. Our mind here is, and that's where we are by nature. Dead in trespasses and in sin. And left for ourselves, here will we dwell. Until we would prove hell to be our just and deserved eternal abode. But oh, amazed to see that man that stopped me in my career. A miracle of grace I stand, the Lord has taught my heart to fear. Now Jesus, as I said at the outset, was here. Traveling in the greatness of his strength. The greatness of his strength was to pluck Zacchaeus as a brand from the burning. He knew the very tree, and he knew the very branch where this lost sheep of the house of Israel was sitting. And here he came and stood beneath that tree and called him by his name. And as far as Zacchaeus was concerned, it was unsought. My dear, do you look back to such a time, to such a condition in your life, when you had no desire after the things of God. You may have come into the house of God, been brought up in a Christian home. Know what that was to be found gathered at the family altar, to come into the house of God on his day. These things are good, and let them not be wrongly used or even despised. But I say those things in themselves will not be salvation. Yet, my dearest, some of us, I know not your individual cases together here tonight. We knew what that was to be brought up in these things. And yet underneath, what was there? A determination to go around. If only we could leave home, parental restraint, we'd finish with the things of God. Inwardly, how we scorn, in some measure hate the people of God. What a peculiar lot we sometimes thought they were. But now, my dear, as we prove this, how the salt of the isn't this grace? Isn't this the Lord's goodness? He brought you to say with that dear handmaid of all, this people should be my people. Their God and my God. Were it not for the grace of God, would you be where you are found tonight? In his earthly courts, a net and open Bible before you, no mind. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I'm saved. With Zacchaeus, this was unsought for. Further than that, with Zacchaeus, it was unmerited. You look at his past life and his conduct. In that despicable place that he was in as a publican, extortionating the people, seeking to gain his own ends. Oh, what a character. But here you look again at some of those characters in the Word of God, just very briefly touched upon the Mount Gerizim. Saul of Tarsus, would you have looked at them and said, vessels of mercy? Would you have looked at them in some of their paths that they walked in and say, huh? There are some of God's dear children. And so it was. And I believe so it is today. There are those whom the Lord calls out, and those whom the Lord brings in. You can create some evidence of the work of grace in your heart tonight. It is good. But did you merit it? Nothing in me to merit a sin. Or give my Creator delight. No, my dear, it is unmerited. Lord, see the Christ did. How distinct this call was. When the Lord will call, he'll leave a sinner in no doubt as to whom his voice is being directed to. I don't know, for all that we do know, there may have been others who have climbed other trees in the past. It's only a thought, friend. I'm not saying it was so, but there's no reason to see that it should not be so. But it was to Zacchaeus that the word was directed. When the Lord went to the grave where Lazarus was buried, he stood with a loud voice and cried, "Come, Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. There was a power in the loins of the Lord that to anything that directed that word they could have come, but he called one by name. The Lord will make that work of grace distinct into the soul of those to whom he has a purpose of love to walk. There will be no doubt, there will be no mistaking his work for his word. And as this word is so distinct, so my gift will separate. But whatever that is, the Lord will speak. He will mark this on it that that word is effectual. What a power there is in the voice of Christ. You can see it in creation's work. He spake, it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. And you can see that in the word of God's new creation. Speak and is done. We turn to the 29th Psalm, I believe it is, where the psalmist there speaks of the power of the voice of the Lord. It's upon the waters, he said. What a power as the psalmist goes through that psalm, speaking of the voice of the Lord. And that voice calls out his down from this sycamore tree. He said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now unsought for, unmerited, effectually. What is the ground of it? What is the ground of it? Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. This was the ground of it. That he was a son of Abraham, not merely a Jew. He may well have been a Jew. But he wasn't merely a Jew. That wasn't the ground of his salvation. But he was a son of Abraham, one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We remember how that we have that brought before us in the Word, the earlier part of it, where the Lord called Abraham out and separated him. And as it was in Abraham's day, so it still is today. The Lord will call, the Lord will separate. And he said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord has spoken unto him. And there you can see yet again the distinct call directed to Abraham and the effectual working out of it that Abraham arose and departed. And dear Joshua, as he comes near to the end of his earthly course, he speaks to the tribe of the children of Israel then, and he says unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And that's what Abraham was. And then we read of him, blessed and true as the father of the faithful. But you look at the idolatry that Abraham lived amongst and the gods that he served, and yet the Lord singled him out. He said, I took your father Abraham, it was God's word, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac, that one in whom all his seed should be called. I gave unto him Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And he got that promise. You remember when Jacob went down there, fear not to go down. He said, I will go with thee. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I prayed Egypt, and I brought your fathers out. It's God's word. Now he says here, unto Zacchaeus, he is also a son of Abraham. Now I say not only as a Jew, but he was of the spiritual seed of Abraham. Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, dwells very sweetly on this. You read that through in your leisure moments in the third chapter of his epistle to the Galatians, and see there how he speaks of they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And throughout the chapter he speaks of those things concerning those who are the sons of Abraham. And he concludes it with this. He said, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Abraham's seed, they are of Christ, and they are heirs according to the promise. Now here was the ground of it, my dears, of the Lord dealing thus with Zacchaeus, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And as a son of Abraham, he was savingly united to Christ. If ye be Christ. So this was foreknown, my dear, we could never fathom, we'll never understand the foreknowledge of God. But this was foreknown. And according to God's wonderful foreknowledge, so here is a lost sheep of the house of Israel, this son of Abraham, and he is savingly united to Christ. He must be found. He must be found. And Jesus, traveling in the greatest of his strength, found his soul, called him down, brought him in, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And mark this. Abraham is spoken of, as I've just hinted to you, as the father of the faithful. In Zacchaeus' heart was found this faith toward God. And now, as this great light had shone, this faith in his heart was discovered. What a creator. Light was created, my dear. Natural light was created. You come into a place of pitch, blackness, darkness, and then bring that into light, even the day in which we live, we might put on some artificial light. And that which could not be seen because of the darkness is then revealed. But the light didn't create it, did it? Whatever that object may be that is now seen, wasn't created by the light, but it was revealed by the light. And my dear, the darkness is hidden in the heart, which is not seen, which is not detected. When the light shines and Christ is the light of the world, oh, then what a discovery there is of that which was there before. And here is there is faith in the heart of Zacchaeus. Why? Because he addressed the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Zacchaeus called him Lord. Oh, my dear, have you ever ponder before you give answer to it? Have you ever said, my Lord and my God? Now, Zacchaeus knew something of this. For he stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, mark his obedience here. Do that according to the law of God. Not the salvation is of the law, But where the work of grace is made manifest in the soul, I believe that soul will desire to walk according to the revealed will of God, and that is His Word. In the sixth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, he touches upon this very sweetly. Now, the seventh chapter. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. These are things that he is speaking after his call by grace. The Lord's grace is dealing with him. And in these things, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And this good work being begun, being made manifest in the heart of Zacchaeus, now he desires to do that which is according to the law of God, and he restored, according to the law, the restitution. I say that wasn't his salvation, but it was a fruit of the effect and grace of his heart. My hearers, it find you then with this delight to do the law of God. By their fruits we shall know them. Jesus said unto him this day, is salvation come to this house for as much? He also is a son of Abraham. Where there is faith, my hearer will be repentant. Those two graces go hand in hand through life's journey. You cannot possess true faith and know nothing of repentance. And you cannot know repentance, true saving repentance, which is a gift of the Spirit, unless you are a possessor of faith and a son of Abraham. You mark that. God hath joined these together in His Word. I come back to it. What He hath joined together, let not man put asunder. For these things were seen in Zacchaeus, because for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And there we have another blessed aspect of the Word. Time to visit, we continue with it this evening. But may the Lord give us still to ponder upon it. The Son of Man is come. Christ is come. Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in all things, there he was, my hearer, about his Father's business. And what a glorious truth is brought before us here, even in these words. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. My hearer, can you go even from the house of God with that thought, with that exercise, even tonight? Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. The Lord give us to ponder the plan of salvation. And the Word began with that wonderful man, that God-like man. And it was perfectly worked out. Our salvation is perfectly secured. Oh, the fullness of those three words that the Lord Jesus Christ gave utterance to at Calvary when he cried in the midst of his agonies and his sufferings on that cross, it is finished. And there was opened that fountain for all sin and all our acquaintance. And today, my dear, the power, the efficacious power of that precious blood is still the same. What a fullness, my friend. What a sufficient Savior. In one sense, there is a sufficient Savior in the blood of Christ for the sins of the whole world. But the efficient Savior of that precious blood is reserved to the election of Christ. And you and I don't know who they are. Therefore, my dear, as you may have known, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.